friends, before we come to our time in God's Word, we're going to pray together. And specifically, as the children are dismissed, we want to praise the Lord for a few things. Both Corey and Deborah Boyan, they both had successful cancer surgeries. It doesn't look like Corey is going to need to have any radiation or chemo or anything like that, which is really encouraging. We praise the Lord for that. Deborah's just going to need a little bit, but they're recovering nicely. They wanted to express their thanks to the church family for praying for them. We also want to praise the Lord that Dennis Reed had successful surgery on his hand. All his fingers are still there. So we want to praise the Lord for that. And then we want to take some time to pray for our positions. We are looking for a part-time student ministries director, and we are looking for a part-time children's ministry director. And so we want to be praying that God will provide those right people. I also want to pray for Pastor Mike. Pastor Mike is transitioning out of children's ministry and into a new role called community and outreach. And that would be, back in the day, we would call that adult ministries and outreach and missions. And that's what Pastor Mike will be doing. So we want to pray for him as well. So let's take some time. Let's bow our heads together and let's pray and praise the Lord together. Father, we come before you. And we are grateful for the opportunity to be here. We're grateful to be your family. Lord, it has been a very unique year, and yet a year that you were not surprised by. And thank you for the endurance and the persistence and the perseverance of you and the way that you have worked in our lives. Lord, continue to make us more like Christ. Continue to use us as a church. Lord, we praise you for the successful surgeries of Dennis and Corey and Deborah, and we would pray for their continued recovery. Lord, we pray that you would use these situations in their lives to continue to strengthen their faith, but to also give them an opportunity to share the hope and the faith of the gospel to those that they come in contact with. Lord, we pray for Pastor Mike in his new role, that you would use him in that role, that you would give him guidance and wisdom and direction, and that through it, that we would be a people who draw closer to you, draw closer to one another, and that we really reach out into our community with the gospel. And by your grace, Lord, would you use us to be a part of your mission? Would you transform lives through this ministry? And may we see lives change for the sake of the gospel through you using this local church. Lord, we pray that you would provide for us the right individual for our children's ministry director and the right individual for our student ministries director. We don't know who those people are right now. But you do. And so we trust that you in your kindness and in your grace would provide the right individual at the right time for us. Lord, the one that you know would be the right fit for us. We come to you, we are needy and we are desperate, but we ask that you would provide that for us. And now, Lord, as we open up your pages, please use me, your weak and humble servant, to declare your truth, and may the Spirit work through your word to transform lives. And Lord, it's for the good of your people and for the glory of your son Jesus that we pray and we ask all these things. Amen. Well, friends, we have been going through a series on the church. Lord willing, in 2 weeks, we're going to begin a series through the book of Luke. The book of Luke entitled Good News for You. Pastor Carlos and I have mapped it out. It'll take us 55 weeks to go through the book of Luke. And so if we go through it consistently each week in Easter 2022, we will finish with the resurrection. So you can be praying for that study, but we still have a few weeks left of this current study. We've talked about what we as the church should be doing when we gather. We talked about the realities that we as a church, when we gather to praise Jesus. We gather to proclaim his word. We gather to pray to him in dependence. We come to celebrate baptism and communion, and then we gather to fellowship, to unite together and share our lives with one another. Well, last week, we looked that we as disciples are of Christ, we desire to make disciples because of the love that we have for God, the love that God has for us. And in light of that love that he has for us, we want to spread and show that love to his people. Well, this morning, we're going to finish up what it looks like when we scatter as the church. And to kind of get our minds right for that, I want to read to you a quote from a man by the name of Mark Dever. He wrote a book on the Great Commission, and here's what he said about discipleship. He said, "Discipleship is my following Jesus. Discipling is me helping someone else follow Jesus." And I really like that. That's really simple, but it's also very clear. A disciple is someone who follows Jesus, and then part of discipling and discipleship is that we help other people follow Jesus. Discipleship is at the heart of Christ's mission of saving a people for his glory. As we're going to see in Matthew 28, Jesus doesn't say, go and make converts. Jesus says, go and make disciples. And so through faith in what Jesus has done, we are his children, and therefore we are his church. And we have said together that Jesus' church is the community of believers in him who confess him as Savior and Lord. And because we belong to him, he has called us out together for a purpose. And like we've seen, it is to gather in worship, but it also is to scatter to fulfill the great commandment and the great commission. And so this morning, we look at the great commission and some other passages, because here's what we're looking at. We're going to look at two responses to Christ's command to make disciples this morning. Two responses to Christ's command to make disciples. The first response to Christ's demand of making disciples is that we as his disciples are to embrace our role in him. God has given each and every one of us as his followers a specific role for the sake of making disciples. In fact, he has commanded us to share his truth with other people so that they will know Jesus personally and then also live to make him known. And so first, we're going to look at our role as Jesus' followers, or our role as his disciples. If we were to look into the New Testament, a disciple is simply a follower or a learner. In fact, in the New Testament, it referred to someone who was committed to following another person and their way of life, including their teaching. So what you would do is you would go to someone and say, I want to follow you and your teaching, and you would just begin to do life with them, and you would follow them around. So discipleship in the New Testament is simply that. It is following Jesus and learning from him. And according to him, our discipleship or our following him is to be marked by a selflessness and a sacrifice. These are Jesus' words himself in Mark chapter 8 and verse 34. Mark chapter 8 and verse 34. Here is what Jesus said. It says, in calling the crowd to him with his disciples, with his learners, his followers, his pupils, he said to them, and now he tells them, here's kind of what it means to follow me. Here's what it means to be my disciple. He says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And if you were listening, you understood exactly what Jesus meant. Jesus is saying, your life is not about you anymore. Your life is about me, even if that means that you die for the sake of your faith in me. The moment that we were saved by Christ, friends, we became his followers. There's some parts of Christianity that have this idea that I become a believer in Christ, and then when I get really committed, then I'm a disciple of Christ. That's not how the New Testament puts it. New Testament says that if you believe in Jesus Christ, the moment you believe, guess what you are now? You're a disciple. You are a follower. You are a learner of Jesus Christ. And so as such, our lives now, they're not about us anymore. They're all about Jesus. About Jesus' plans, about Jesus' truth, about Jesus' mission. In fact, Paul put it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, when he's encouraging the believers to be a people who live as God's representatives, who live as his disciples. He says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 14. He says, for the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, that's Jesus, and therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live, that would be those who have spiritual life in Christ, might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. And so when Jesus gave us life, we died to ourselves. We belong to him. We live for the sake of another. We live for Jesus. And so living for Christ as his followers means that we exist to make other disciples of Christ. And that leads us right into the Great Commission. Matthew chapter 28. If you haven't turned there, please turn there now. Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 18. Remember, we talked about last week that Matthew is a book that is written to let us know that Jesus is the King. He's the chosen one. He is the Messiah. And right before Jesus ascends into heaven, he gathers his followers together, his disciples, and he declares to them these words beginning in verse 18, Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Now, when I was a child and Pastor Chris or Pastor Graves would talk about this passage or preach from this passage, I just assumed, until they helped me understand, that the command here was to go. I gotta go. That's not the command here. There's one command here in this section, and the command is to make disciples. The idea of when Jesus says, go and make disciples, it's the idea of as you go, meaning as you go and you live your life as a follower of Christ, as you go to the store, as you go into your neighborhood, as you go into your job, as you go into your school, wherever you go, you are commanded to make disciples. It means that our priority as the people of God is to promote the greatness and the glory of Jesus with whomever we come in contact with. You know what this means? This is a life of purposefulness, of intentionality, of living life on purpose. So we live our lives purposely to pour the truth of Christ and the gospel into other people, whether it's our children or our grandchildren or our church family or our neighbors or whomever we come in contact with. Then Jesus says here that the way that we are to make these disciples, make these followers of Christ, is through baptizing people. Remember a few weeks ago we talked about that we gather together to celebrate what Christ has done. We talked about baptism. Baptism is a public identification with Christ. It's an outward manifestation of inward transformation. When someone gets baptized, they're declaring, my allegiance is to Jesus. I am his follower, and I desire to follow him with my life. Baptism does not save that individual. It's just the expression of the individual saying, I am saved and I am committed to Christ. And so when Paul tells us that we are to make disciples, once they become a disciple, we say, you should get baptized. You should express and declare your allegiance to Jesus Christ. That's what God says, Jesus says. But Jesus also says, don't just baptize them. He also says, teach them to observe all that I command you. In other words, we are to use our lives and our lips to teach people the truths of God's word so that they actually follow God's word. And the way that this is written for us, the way that Jesus says this, it means that this is to be a present and continuous reality. This is not a, you know, if I have time with all the other things I'm doing, I'm going to make disciples. But if I don't have time, the discipleship is going to go away. Or it's sometimes we can be like, okay, discipleship is a part of my life. And Jesus says, no, discipleship actually is your life. Do you have other responsibilities? Yes, you do. But they're all under that umbrella of living to make disciples. It's the focus of our lives because Christ is our lives. In fact, Jesus poured in to 12 men who poured into other men and women, and the gospel exploded. And that's part of the reason why we sit and stand here today as his followers. In fact, Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he says, Timothy, what you've learned from me, I want you to take and I want you to entrust it to other men who can teach other people the same thing. We call that a disciple cycle. That's how the church continues to build and to grow, through God using his people to make disciples. And so what that means for us this morning, friends, is that we need to be a people of prayer. You should be thinking right now, who's discipling me, and who am I discipling? There's some people out there that think discipleship is like a gift in the church. Discipleship is not a spiritual gift. Discipleship is what God's people are to be doing by his grace. And so the first thing we should do is we think about this. We should be a people of prayer. God, who would you have for me to pour the truth of Christ into? You'd be like, well, Josh, I'm a baby Christian. That's fine. Start with what you know. And you have someone else discipling you. So what it is, they're pouring the truth of God into your life, and you're pouring the truth of God into someone else's life. So pray, God, would you provide for me someone whom I can pour into? And then pray, God, would you provide someone for my life who can disciple me? Friends, I have several men who pour the truth of the gospel into my life. I need to be discipled. We need to be discipled, and we need to be discipling. Second thing we should do in relation to this is we should observe. This is something that Jesus was known for. Jesus loved to people watch. We should love to people watch, not to cast judgment, not to be like, oh, that person's worse than me or better than me, but to observe people around us. There are people in this church whom you could pour the truth of Christ into. There are neighbors out in your neighborhood who you can begin a relationship to get the gospel to them. You need to take a look around. It's not about you just getting to your destination. It's about you living your life for Christ. Another thing that we can do is we can seek then. Seek to be discipled and to disciple. Maybe you're someone who, well, I'm going to wait for someone to come and ask me if they want to spend time with me. Don't wait, come. I've asked a few people, hey, would you be willing to pour into me? And both of these individuals are like, yeah, I absolutely would. Like, you seek to be discipled and you seek to disciple someone. And here's what's really cool about this. You don't need to necessarily make it this big formal thing like, hey, I'd like you to sign this contract. I want you to know I'm going to be discipling you for this long, blah, 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 blah. No, you just start spending time with people and you pour the truth of Christ into them. There were students that I had the opportunity to minister to. They probably didn't even recognize they were being discipled. They just thought, Josh is hanging out with me. And we were, but you know what we were talking about? We were talking about Christ. We're talking about Christ's truth. The first person who discipled me, they never told me that. They just said, hey, do you want to come to my house and have food? And I was like, yes, please. And then the next thing that we can do is we can engage with God's word and God's people. If we're going to be disciplers and we're going to disciple, we need to know the truth of Christ and his word so we can pour it into other people. We're not trying to pour our truth into people. Friends, I have nothing to offer you. I don't. But Jesus has something to offer you. He has his word, and so we pour the truth of his word into other people. That's our role as his followers. Now, here's our role as his witnesses. A little bit different, but similar. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Here's what Jesus said to his followers right before he ascended into heaven. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says this. Jesus says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Here Jesus calls his followers his witnesses. A witness is someone who gives evidence and confirmation of something. So if you saw an accident and you talked to the police, you would tell the police what you saw, what you experienced. Well, as members of Christ's church, our lives and ministries, both as individual members of Christ's church, but corporately as this local church, we are to give evidence of who Christ is and what he's done. And so this means for us that our words are to declare to other people the message of the gospel, meaning we are to use our phonics funnels here to tell people about Christ. Paul put it this way in Romans chapter 10 and verses 14 through 15. These words will be very familiar to you. Paul says this in Romans 10, 14 and 15. He says, how then will they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching or proclaiming? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, and this is a quote of Isaiah 52, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Paul is encouraging us, friends, we need to use our lips to tell people about Jesus. If we don't, they're just going to think we're really good people who live really good lives, and that would not be true. They need to know, you know, we were really bad people, but we were rescued from our sin, and now we live to please Jesus and honor him. He's done so much for us, and he can do the same for you, and then we tell them about Christ. Like, there's many ways that we can use to share the gospel. Here's one example for us that we can use as we think about talking to people about Christ. We can use the God, humanity, Christ response. The idea is that God is our holy creator and our righteous judge. He created us to glorify him and enjoy him forever. People need to know that. They need to know that they were made by God for a purpose to worship him. But then they need to know about who we are as humans. They need to know that we've rebelled against God and we've refused God's good rule over our lives. And in so doing that, we deserve death, both physical death and spiritual death, and then eternal punishment. People need to know that they are currently dead in their sins, and they are in need of God alone to give spiritual life to them. But here's the really good news, is that in Christ, God has provided the solution to our sin against him and our separation from him. And that solution is none other than himself. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, who's fully God and fully man, to stand in our place and take the penalty for our sins by dying on the cross. And in his death, Jesus experienced the suffering and separation from God for us that we should experience. And on the third day, he rose from the dead, proving that he's God and that his sacrifice was acceptable for our sins. And so then our response as humanity should think of what Christ has accomplished through his life and his death and his resurrection will be applied to us if we will turn from our sin and place all of our hope and our trust in him. And then all of those who trust in Christ alone to save them will receive forgiveness and a restored relationship with him forever. Friends, that's the message that people need to hear. They need to hear the gospel. And so that means that we need to know the gospel and be immersed in the gospel and be in love with the Christ of the gospel so that we can share it with other people. But we don't just want to be a people who use our words to speak it. Our actions are also to demonstrate the reality of the gospel as well. John says it this way in 1 John 3:18. He says, "Little children, let us not love in word or talk, as in word or talk only, but let us love in deed and in truth." In fact, Paul, when he was talking to the Thessalonians, he mentions to the Thessalonians that it's not just your words that went forth into the surrounding areas. Paul says, your faith went forth into the surrounding areas. Meaning, when people saw the lives of the Thessalonians, how the Thessalonians went from worshiping idols who were lifeless to Jesus, who is the giver and author of life, they were like, whoa, what's happened to these people? Paul says, your words and your actions were an example to other people. Meaning, you lived the gospel with your life and you shared the gospel with your words. So here's what that means for us this morning. It means, once again, we need to be a people of prayer. Friends, we should be praying daily that God would give us opportunities and boldness and the right words to tell people about Jesus. And then we need to be praying, God, would you help our lives to back up what we are going to speak? Now, here's the beauty of the gospel, is when your life doesn't back up what you speak, when you ask someone for forgiveness, do you know what you're showing them? The gospel. Because you're not showing them a perfect person. That's not you. You're showing them a perfect Savior. But our lives are to be lived in a way that reflects that. Another thing that we are to do is we are to prepare. Peter says that we are to be prepared to give a defense for the hope that's within us. And we do it with considerateness and we do it with respect. The way that we get prepared to tell people about Christ is to get into God's word and to get God's word into us. And when we get into God's word and get God's word into us, then we share his truth with other people. We share the verses themselves, but we also share the principles and the application of those verses. And then we need to be people who then actually, with boldness, share why we believe what we believe and share our hope, and then show that hope to other people. That's our role as witnesses. Now, here's our role as representatives. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is Paul talking to the Corinthians about their role as his representatives or ambassadors. Here's what Paul says beginning in verse 17. Paul says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, united into a relationship with Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." Paul is letting us know here that if we know Christ, if we're united to him, that we've been renewed. That means we have a new identity with new desires and a new purpose. He then says in verse 18 that all of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself, and then notice, gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Friends, reconciliation is the restoration of a relationship. You were enemies of God, and now we're friends of God. That's reconciliation. And in light of that reconciliation that we have with God through Christ, God has given us the role of sharing with people that they can be restored to a right relationship with God through Christ. And did you hear what Jesus said there? Jesus said that's our ministry. That God has given that ministry to us. And then he explains it. Look at verses 19 to 20. He says, that is that in Christ or through Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses or their sins against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. And so Paul says, if we have been restored to a right relationship with God, and then our ministry is to tell people that they can be restored to a right relationship with God through Christ. Paul says, here's what that makes us in verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. You know what an ambassador is, a representative is, right? We have people that represent our country that go to other countries as those representatives. Paul says that if you are a follower of Christ, that you are his representative. And the way that we represent Christ is by the way that we speak and by the way that we live. We are making God's appeal through us. We are encouraging and urging and begging people to say no to their sin and say yes to following Jesus Christ. Friends, God has chosen to use us as his representatives to accomplish his plans of saving a people for his glory. And you know what this means for us? I bet you can guess. It means more prayer. It means, God, would you help me to faithfully represent you with those I come in contact with? Friends, think about this. Your kids and your grandkids and your neighbors and your community known as Santa Rosa and Sonoma County, you are a representative for Jesus. He sent you as his ambassador to this county to represent him. And so we pray, God, would you help my life to represent you? And then we, by his grace, we live with purpose and urgency. We see every day as an opportunity to point people to Christ. Friends, tomorrow's just not a mundane Monday or a manic Monday, as the Bengals said. Tomorrow is a purposeful opportunity that God has given you, a Monday that we won't get back to tell people about Jesus, to live for Jesus, to represent Jesus. And so here's a question for us this morning. Do you see yourself as a disciple, a witness, and a representative of Christ? Another way to phrase that would be, is your priority to follow Christ and help others do the same? I thought about this for our church. Is this local church an embassy? A place that represents Christ and a place that people can come and see the representation of him and see how people love and care for each other? Or is this place a fortress? We don't want anybody else in here. We want to be protected from you, the world. Friends, I pray that this place is an embassy to our community more than a fortress. See, as Christ's church, Christ has sent us to declare and display his saving message to other people. And so, by his grace, making disciples is to be our priority and our passion because it glorifies God and it is what good it is good for other people. And friends, discipleship is both taught and caught. Meaning, it is something we do formally in a sense. We formally meet with people and equip the saints, but it's also informally. We share our lives with people. It's both of those things together. It's to be our way of life, both at home and at work and at school and in our community. Friends, that's why we have this outreach flyer. This outreach flyer is designed for you to look, what ways can I begin to be a discipler in my community? Maybe it's through Care Portal. Maybe it's through helping out on the drone. Maybe it's through the creek and ocean cleanup or VBX or something else that wasn't mentioned in here. Maybe it's youth basketball. But friends, there's opportunities for us to be disciples who make disciples into our community. It's our way of life. It reminds me of Jesus' words in Mark chapter 5. Do you remember the guy that was filled with all, that was under the influence of all those demons? And he lived like in the cemetery with no clothes on and everywhere, and he would scream all the time? And Jesus rescued him from that? And he wants to go be with Jesus in Mark chapter 5. Remember Jesus' words? Jesus' words in Mark chapter 5:19 says, stay here and tell everyone what you've seen and heard and the mercy that God has upon you. That's what God's saying to us this morning. Stay here and tell everyone what you've seen and heard and tell them about the mercy that God has had upon us. Friends, we need to embrace our role as disciples who make disciples. Now, you might be thinking right now, Josh, that is heavy. Isn't it a little heavy to embrace this role that God has given us? But here's the really good news, and this is the second response to Christ's command. And that is to entrust ourselves to him. That is to entrust ourselves to him. Now again, you may be thinking to yourself, Josh, okay, I get it now. My life is to be all about glorifying God by making disciples. But Josh, this is really hard, and you would be correct. You could say, Josh, I cannot do this on my own. Again, you would be correct, but here's really great news. We don't have to. In fact, not only do we not have to, we were not meant to do this by ourselves. God is not a God who's like, hey, I have this really hard thing for you to do, basically impossible without me. I'll see you when I return. That's not how God is. See, through God's power and God's presence, we are able to participate in his mission for his glory. Do you remember what Jesus said at the beginning of the Great Commission? We have these amazing bookends. We have verse 18 and verse 20 together. In verse 19, it's, hey, go make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But in verse 18, Jesus said this. All authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Jesus' authority is his supreme power and rule and control over everything. And so because of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done, he's letting his disciples know, he's letting us know, my mission will be accomplished. People are going to get saved. My church will be built. And then in verse 20, he says, and behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, here's what's really cool. Notice Jesus didn't say, I will be with you. Jesus said, I am with you. So right now, Jesus is spiritually present with us and at work in us through his Spirit. And remember, this was him keeping his promise, because he promised this in John chapter 15, verse 26. He says, but when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will bear witness about me. Jesus says, the Helper is coming to help you tell people about me. It's why he says in the next chapter, in John chapter 16, beginning in verse 13, he says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come, and he will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Friends, that means that God has sent his Spirit to equip us and enable us to glorify Christ by being his followers and his witnesses and his representatives. And so when Jesus says to us that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you and you will be my witnesses, do you know how we know that that happened? We just get to keep reading in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2 through 5 is amazing because you have, a few months before, these timid disciples who aren't sure, who don't know what's going on, who ran away from Jesus at the time he needed them the most, and now all of a sudden Peter stands up there and goes, hey, you guys killed the Savior. But if you will turn from your sin and trust in Jesus, you will be saved. And it says that those people were cut to the heart, and they're like, well, what do we do? He's like, you repent and believe. And it says that that day there were 3,000 souls that were added to that number. Well, what changed? Did Peter all of a sudden get this boldness? Yeah, do you know why? Because he saw the resurrected Christ and the Holy Spirit was at work in him. Friends, do you know that Jesus is alive today? And did you know that the same Holy Spirit that lived in Peter lives in you? No super Christians. They're just Christians, just followers of Christ. And so as Christ's church, God has definitely given us a great task. A task that only he can accomplish. But the beauty of it is that he's determined that how it will be accomplished is through us communicating the gospel to other people. Do you know what that means? There's people that have asked me, Josh, what's the church's plan? What's the church's plan for reaching the community for the gospel? What are we going to do? Do you want to know what the church's plan is? It's you. You are the church's. I'm the church's. So yeah, we have ministry designed for you to outreach. But the plan is you. The plan is the Bible church, the people of God being out in our community and the people that we rub shoulders with living for Christ and praying for opportunities to talk about Christ and then sharing Christ. That's Christ's plan. Now, here's what's interesting. God doesn't need us to accomplish this plan, but he's chosen to use us for his glory and our joy. And what that means is that if you, let's say, refuse to participate in Christ's mission, his plan will still be accomplished. But, and this is a big but you will miss out on the joy and the blessing of seeing people's lives transformed by Christ through using you. On top of the fact that you'll actually be living in disobedience to Christ's command. And friends, we don't want to miss out on the joy and blessing, right? The joy and blessing of being the seed planters. Our church simply could be a church that plants all these seeds and we never know if they grow. And then later we hear, man, there was this church on the east side of town in this town called Santa Rosa, and they just kept talking about Christ. And I remember that message that my one neighbor told me, and 5 years later, I'm saved. We were still part of Christ's work. Even if we didn't see the fruit from it, we were still part of Christ's work. And so when we leave this gathering on Sunday morning, there should be a sign above every door that says, you are now entering the mission field. And so when we leave this gathering, we can scatter together with this joy and confidence in Christ, knowing that the same Spirit that was in the disciples and the early church is within us. The Holy Spirit is there to guide us and direct us and help us be disciples who make disciples. The same message that the disciples proclaimed is the same message that we proclaim, because that message transforms lives. The same Savior who saved people in the past is the same Savior who's saving people in the present and will do so in the future. And so for us as Santa Rosa Bible Church and members of it, these realities are incredible. And so in light of them, may we commit ourselves to Christ's mission and rest in his power and his presence and rely on him to use us for his glory. Friends, we can't do this by ourselves, but we have God's Spirit and we have God's power and we have God's presence to use us to make disciples, so we can leave this place with anticipation and excitement at how God is going to use us to make disciples. That's Christ's mission. That's our mission. And so we've looked at two responses to Christ's command to make disciples. One, we want to embrace our role in him. Two, we want to entrust ourselves to him. And if you're with us watching or in person and you don't know Christ, you actually just heard the gospel a few moments ago. You heard that God created you to know him and to have a relationship with him. You've heard that he is your judge. And you've heard, though, that you are a sinner. You need to be rescued from your sin. You owe God a debt that you cannot pay. But God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to pay that debt in your place, to make you right with God, to declare you not guilty, and to give you a relationship with him, to bring you into his family. And he did that through his perfect life, through his dying on the cross for your sin in your place, and through his resurrection, which was God's way of saying that sacrifice has been accepted. It has been paid in full. No one else needs to pay anything. Your response to that good news, friends, is to believe, is to trust in Jesus alone to save you from your sin. And when that happens, you are now his disciple. And we, as your brothers and sisters in Christ, are here to disciple you and love you and care for you until God calls you elsewhere or takes you home to be with you. Please trust in Christ of you. And followers of Christ, this is the truth that we want to think about this week. Christ's power and presence in our lives moves us to participate in his mission of making disciples. Because we have the power and presence of Christ with us and in us, that should motivate us and drive us and stimulate us to say, God, I'm going to participate in your mission of making disciples and see how you're going to glorify yourself in my life. Let's pray. Father, we praise you. We thank you that your word is alive and it is true and it is active and it is working. Lord, we ask that you would help us to be a people who see ourselves as your witnesses and as your representatives and as your followers. Lord, you are doing a great work of gathering a people for yourself, and we desire to be a part of that mission. You've brought us into your family to be a part of that mission. So use us, Lord, as individuals, and use us as a local church to talk about you and to live for you and to represent you. And by your grace, Lord, would you use us to plant seeds? Would you even allow us to see those seeds get watered? And Lord, would you allow us to see those seeds grow for the sake of your glory and for the sake of the good of your church? would you build your church? And would you use us to be a part of what you're doing? And Lord, when you use us, would you help us to give praise and honor and glory to you, because it was you that have done it, that has done it. And so now, as we have an opportunity to worship you with our lips and song, I pray that we would worship you in light of the role that you have given us for your glory and for our joy. We pray and we ask all these things. Amen.
This message has been brought to you by the Santa Rosa Bible Church. Our mission is to see the lost reached and believers transformed by Jesus. You can find out more information about us at our website at srbible.org. Or you can visit us in person at 4575 Badger Road in Santa Rosa, California. You can also reach us by phone at 707-538-2385.